welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Andy.
I was just talking with Jay before we started recording. I don't remember the last time just you and me did a show. It's been a while.
I feel like it's only been a couple weeks. Let's see, Brad and I, we did the Wigs episode. Didn't we do,
We had a bunch of shows with people, or you and Brad did a couple, and yeah, it's just...
Wow. Yeah, last episode we did together was 237. Jay and Andy returned during the GA runoff election to discuss in real time. Yeah, that's when we learned that we got the Senate.
Wow, yeah, so that's been...
January 6th. So there you go.
Yeah. It's been haven't done this in a month. That's a while.
Yeah, that is a while.
for a guy I do shows with for like every week for 4 or 5 fucking years, however long we've been doing this, a month not doing it is kind of a long time.
A month apart from you. Oh my God.
Nah, because we came and did the one with Tiara, but this is, I'm not going to jinx anything, especially since people are now looking at the runtime of this program, but I don't think we're going to do a 3-hour show.
No, I'm fairly tired. So, this is going to be 40 minutes. We're only going to talk about Alexei Navalny. And we're not going to make any jokes and that's it. In and out. No, so we are going to change the format of the show a little bit. I think it's a good idea. You know, we are learned gentlemen, but we are also what some would refer to as goofballs. So what we're going to do is we are going to take the first hour and we're going to have like serious politics talk, right? As serious as we're capable of doing. We promise
we
nothing.
Will still be silly about serious topics though, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll try to stay on topic for that first hour.
Yeah,
right?
That's not gonna happen. But I mean, we could do more serious topics up top, sure, but yeah. You're not going to contain the goofballitude.
you can only try. So we're going to do that for like the first hour. And then what we're going to do is kind of after the hour mark is the after party, Look Forward after party, where we will continue to talk about politics, but we will use a much lighter touch. We will let the goofballness reign. We will not hold back. We will be, the dicks that you've come to know and love.
I think if I recall from earlier in our group chat, you said you're going to stop editing out Brad's racial slurs on the second half.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to stop doing that.
Well, that's cool. That'll be fun because people can actually hear what we're talking about. Because yeah. I know, like we make reference to it a lot, but then people listen to the show and they're like, I don't know, I didn't hear it. Well, it's Jay edited it. Obviously, he's not going to let a white guy scream the N-word on his podcast. That's right. Weird. But we're going to let it go now. We're letting it fly.
That's right.
You need to hear what a monster that guy is.
Yeah, and look, as I said in our private group chat, the Inuit community deserves to know what sort of the horrendous things Brad says about them. He's got a real vendetta. I don't know why, but he's got a real fucking problem with them.
Every time that Brad is on the show, Jay has to edit out like a 35-40 minute anti-Inuit rant.
It's just constant screaming about whale blubber, and it's very rude. It's very rude. we would never make this stuff up. We take it very seriously. And, you know, it's high time Brad started paying the price for his shenanigans. That's all I have to say. I denounce and reject him already. So, all right, let's get right into it. By the way, I referred to this to you and Brad, and I'm sticking to it. I'm referring to this new design of the show as, you know, business in the front and then party in the back. This is more of an audio equivalent of a mullet. So that's how the show will be referred to from now on. All right.
I do want our achy breaky podcast.
Ugh, God, that guy is still alive. So first up, hedge funders are getting wrecked by douchebags on Reddit and regular Joe six packs. So you are, this is a huge story. You are intimately involved in this. You are one of the Joe six packs destroying those nice boys over at the hedge funds.
Not nearly to the extent that some people are, but I am. In my stonks and bongs, am up about $500 this week.
Yeah, look at this guy.
Stocks and cryptos, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I made the bulk of that. I made like $300 off a Dogecoin. Like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing, but it's fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. But yeah, it was just like you go to Reddit and they're like, yeah, we're all going to dump all our money on this. And they're like, and then they do, and they spend the day just ratcheting up some stock, which a lot of times is garbage. The main one that they did this to was GameStop, which I didn't catch early enough. But at the beginning of all this, a couple weeks ago, GameStop was like a $5 stock and they got it up to $469.
So here's the thing. For people who don't quite understand what's happening and all they're hearing is like, oh, GameStop, fucking, it's going crazy. What you have to understand is, wow, man, if you had invested like in January, it was at $18. And then you sold it January 20. If you bought it January 7th, at $18 and then sold it on January 27th at $347. Good Christ.
Dude, I was looking through my messenger. I have a message from a couple weeks ago from my buddy James, who you might know from the group. Mm-hmm. He's in there. Me and James and Tom have been fucking around with this stuff. Tom made out like a bandit. Me and James, not so much. I have a message from James I found where he's like, whoa, look at this GameStop stuff. This stuff's crazy. And I looked at the price at that time and it was $35. I'm like, Jesus, why didn't we listen? I have so many regrets.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if you would have topped out at the beginning, or if you would have topped out on the 27th, or if you would have topped out on the 29th, you're still doing pretty good. Shit. Even if during the big drop in the 28th, it was still $193. So here's how this. Yeah,
there's a lot of, you know, I know that there's people that have been not necessarily understanding what's happening, and we are idiots, as you know, and so we can break it down in idiot terms for you.
Yeah.
because the big thing behind all of this, besides, so these guys on Reddit have been investing in GameStop all this time just because they believe in it. It's
disagree.
You know, it's GameStop.
Disagree.
No, they have. They have.
I disagree.
It has been going on for a while because they like GameStop. GameStop has made some moves recently. There is reason to believe.
No, and what time frame are you talking about?
I'm talking within the last few months. There is reason to believe that GameStop was being undervalued because it is it is one of the top names in video game retail, maybe the top name in video game retail. And they brought in like new management. They're going to try to figure out a way to focus more to online stuff because, you know, box stores are not the future anymore. And so they've been actually trying to make a forward-thinking company, and there is reason to believe that it was being undervalued, but not to the extent that it has been blown up, because this is nuts. But they were there were several hedge funds who were shorting the stock, which is a risky move, right? So like if you just buy a stock because you want to see what it does, right? If you bought a stock that was $5, the most you can lose is $5, right? Mm-hmm. If that stock completely dips into oblivion, you have lost $5. If you short the stock, if you buy it at, or if you sell, borrow it to sell at $10 and saying, I'm going to buy this when it dips down to $5, you can lose infinity money, right? There is no limit to how high that stock could potentially go. And you're on the hook for what that becomes worth. So shorting a stock is a risky move. And a lot of people don't do it. A lot of your larger larger hedge funds don't even bother with it. This is something that smaller hedge funds do.
So, okay. A couple things that I'm gonna add some detail to, but I'm also gonna disagree with you.
How dare you?
I have to disagree with your police work there, Margie. So the thing here is, yes, you're right. Shorting stock is very dangerous. Shorting stock is also, it's also good to understand that shorting stock is one of the big things that led to the 2008 collapse, right? Basically derivative, you know, going after derivatives, right? So, which I'm not a Wall Street guy, so if I like mix up terms or whatever, I apologize. But the general idea here is that those hedge funds that did this were doing it not just because they were like, fuck GameStop, but because they saw that GameStop was going to die. And so yeah, this is a
reason to believe that too, because right, it was already in trouble before, right,
and so
last year.
It's a shorting stock is a predatory, like it's predatory behavior. So what you do is, if you see that a business is failing, right? GameStop is a pretty good chance that GameStop, had none of this happened, GameStop would have died, right? Like there's a pretty good chance. There's also a reason why they went after AMC as well, right? Same idea. So who had announced like recently, we're going to go into bankruptcy. We're fucked. So these hedge funders, they basically go, okay, these companies are dying. We're going to place bets on their death, right? And we make money as we are betting against this company's success. So the more the company fails, the more money we make. This is the same thing they did in 2008 with the housing crisis, because they knew that the housing market was fucked. So they were literally betting against the American housing market, which is why they made billions of dollars, right? It's the same idea. That sort of reckless betting on that level destroyed the economy in 2008. Now, that still goes on, but not to the level, which is why you only see smaller hedge funds really throwing all in on stuff like this. A lot of times they will do this, this shorting of companies, not just to watch it fail till it's dead, but also to watch it fail and then it gets low enough, and then companies like Bain Capital that Ronnie used to work at would come in and swoop up and buy those companies for nothing, rip it apart for profit, right? Like, so that all of that needs to be, like, all of that needs to be said. So that's what shorting is, right? Shorting is literally just betting on a company to fail. So that's what those hedge funders were doing, right? It's a shitty thing to do, but when you short a company that is not officially dead, you are constantly driving the price down because the market sees that there's a lack of confidence that that business is going to thrive. Most people don't want to work in the shorting market because it's so dangerous, like you said. Now, when these guys on Reddit saw that GameStop was being shorted at the rate it was being shorted, and it was being like just utterly destroyed, those guys said, oh, well, if we all get together and we push it the other way, then we can make a ton of money and they can lose an infinite amount. They can lose an infinite amount of money. The hedge funders can lose an infinite amount for the reason that you said before. And the reason why I said I disagree with you about them like believing in the stock, I think that's bullshit. Because the guy, Deep Fucking Value, who is like one of the lead people on this, he put in $53,000 into GameStop stock in 2019. These guys had been planning this for a long time. The thing is, and I understand the, like, I used to do day trading, and like not professionally, but like, you know, as an idiot. And
like I'm doing now.
Yes, like as a fellow moron, right? I'm going to make $1 million. I am losing my mind.
Cleaned up on Dogecoin, guys.
Fucking nailing it. Ameritrade's calling me, baby. That's right. I've got half a stock of, I've got a half a share of Microsoft. So like I used to do that. And so I understand like that rush of it. Right. So my whole thing is I get it and I understand why people got into it and stuff like that. But those guys had been planning this. These guys have clearly been planning this for a while. They wanted to get as much stock as they could, build up their own money, get as much stock as they could. They probably sold a ton of their other shit. Pump up GME, GameStop, get people in, regular Joes, into this. And they're like, hell yeah, Wall Street bets, baby. Let's fucking go. Fuck the man. They are the man, right? They're just the man on the other side. They are the man, right? Who the fuck has $53,000 to throw in a GameStop? That's crazy. That's not a regular dude. And so they pumped the stock crazy, which is awesome, right? Joe's came, you know, Joe Sixpacks came in like you and others came in, helped pump the stock through the fucking roof. And then those guys are like, hold, hold, hold. Then those guys go at a certain point are going to say, hey, let's sell this shit, right? And completely fuck the market and, you know, make GameStop a ton of money and fuck everybody else who, you know, these hedge funders who are just getting wrecked. But by the time they tell you to sell, they've already sold, right? Like these guys are always going to be the first ones in, first ones out. And what I'm afraid of is a lot of people think that they're where deep fucking value is. But if you read about deep fucking value or you read shit that he posted on Wall Street Bets, you are not in it. you are a guy helping him make money. And look, that's fine if you make your pittance. I don't have a problem with that. But just understand that you are not in it.
The thing that is sort of being misunderstood, I think, though, is that those dudes on Reddit are not the only people betting on this stock, obviously.
Yeah, of course not.
Right? People who've never been to Reddit heard about it and went, oh, this stock is raising? Okay, let's buy it.
Right.
But the thing is, for every hedge fund that shorted GameStop, there's a bunch of other ones that just saw a stock rising and went, oh, well, let's put money on it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. You wouldn't be a good investor if you didn't say, oh, that's going up. Oh, a bunch of people are buying GameStop. Well, let's buy some.
Yeah, and absolutely.
So I forget, it's something like $3.5 billion of GameStop stock was sold. Now, if everybody in that subreddit spent $1,000, there's only 3 million people there, right? If everybody spent $1,000, that's only 300 million. So all of them... The majority of the money came from outside forces, right?
Yeah.
From other investors, from other, you know, obviously a lot of other hedge funds saw a stock going up and went, yeah, we'll get out on that. I mean, they can read.
doubt about that.
Yeah. And that's what happened, you know, aside from some other stuff we'll talk about, some nefarious shit that happened. But one of the reasons that it's caused a tumble. It's because even if everybody in that subreddit held onto their stock, if 90% of it was bought by other people, they're going to sell when it's high.
Yeah.
Like you should if you want to make money. You're going to go, well, this is probably the peak of this. And when it starts to dip, you get out. And that's, you know, and they don't have, even if everybody's a true believer, right? Even if everybody's like, no, we're going to buy this stock. We're going to hold onto it. We're going to raise this thing up to $1,000 or whatever crazy shit they're talking. You don't have everybody on board with that, right?
Yep.
Everybody who bought GameStop is not on the same team. It's mostly just people who wanted to make money. So they sold when it's high, and it's plummeted. And then some other fucked up things. Like the ability for what they call retail traders, which is you and me, to buy GameStop and some of these other stocks got restricted.
Yep.
Now, in one case in particular, Robinhood, the thing with Robinhood has to cover all of the trades that are made on Robinhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go on to Robinhood right now and you buy $100 worth of stock, it gives you $100 worth of stock right then and there. But it takes a couple days to get the money from your bank account into Robinhood and for them to be reimbursed for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea with it is in stock trading, you know, sales and you have to happen immediately. because you want it right now because it costs that price right now.
Right.
So they float you that basically. And mm-hmm. and then the money goes through, you know, through your banking transaction, however long that takes. So the problem with Robinhood is so many people were using it at once. Robinhood was more popular than it has ever been this last week, and it was about to go out of business.
Yeah, they couldn't hold it. Because, right. I mean, that was the thing. Initially, people thought that they were blocking purchases of GME because, like, oh, they're getting in a bunch of trouble. And that's what I thought, too, right? Like, those were the initial reports. But it turns out, like, a day later, they're like, dude, we had to close it because we literally could not float the amount of money that was coming in. They could not afford it.
Bankrupt because they were so popular, which is weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense if you think about it. But yeah, they have to have the cash to cover all of those trades. And so
casino. A casino has to have enough money to cover every single bet, no matter how outlandish, at any given time. And if they don't, they're fucked.
Yeah. Like, they have to be able to cover, hypothetically, somebody playing poker could win every single chip at the table and be able to cash out.
Yep.
Hypothetically. Obviously, that could never happen, but it has to.
Yes, because casinos cheat. Casinos cheat. And they'll just break your fucking hands in the back of the place. Everyone knows that. That's what pit bosses are there for.
Right. But every chip on the game floor represents some actual cash that they hold.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can't put those chips out there if you can't cover it. Where are all the chips? Dude, we got to keep these in the back. Fuck that. Look, I think it's really interesting. It's a really interesting story. I think it's interesting from a lot of perspectives because it is being seen as like the little guy taking on the big guy. And that's true.
Most of the people who made money were big guys.
Right. Right. Like significant money. But like that is like the little guy versus the big guy, the sort of David and Goliath analogy is only true on the smaller transactions, obviously. But what is interesting is this is a type of economic warfare, and it is class based and it is legal. What is interesting is I don't know how you stop this. I don't know besides stopping shorts. How do you stop this, right? Like there's talk of regulation and all that stuff, and they're trying to regulate like the small guy because at the end of the day, the system is fine with hedge funders wreaking havoc on big businesses that they deem are dying, and in like hyenas they come and or like vultures they come and circle the body until it's dead. But they're not okay with a regular guy doing the same, which is
what they were doing by shorting a stock and driving it down. Is they were speeding up the process of GameStop going out of business.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because it could have come around, right? I'm not a big believer in GameStop, but I've seen enough businesses, nearly lose it and then turn it around, right? That happens. Yeah. There are some companies that almost fucking lost it all and came back. Apple. Yeah. Apple was nearly dead and managed to crawl out of the hole and become the biggest cell phone company in the world.
One of the biggest companies in the world.
And there's a lot of stories like that. And if they don't have that chance, if they have outside forces driving them out faster, like that sucks. A lot of people work for GameStop.
Yeah. So
like you're putting a large company out of business is a shitty thing to do. But nobody's talking about regulating them except for my girl E. Warren. because Warren knows how to regulate, as we all know.
Yeah, that's right. Warren wants to bring in Robinhood for questioning.
Yes.
And look, a week ago I would have said she's doing the right thing, but now I'm like, yeah, they were just broke. What the fuck could they do? They probably should go out of business anyway, because they can't do the basic business that they were designed to do.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like, there are people who, there's the capacity, right? Like, well, there's 2 billion users on Facebook, right? But not at once. But if all of us, if all 2 billion of us went on Facebook and tried to upload a photo at the same time, you'd crash the entire thing. You
that's
would.
A, yeah, that's actually a pretty good idea.
Hmm. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we should totally do that.
But yeah, like that's the thing, is Robinhood got too big. They couldn't handle every, and they had to throttle it down. And the thing is, they won't just say that, right? Try to be, well, you know, we're trying to get out ahead of just say, yeah, we didn't have the money to float all these trades. We didn't have it. We're sorry. We're bums. Like, yeah, you can just say that. Rather than, because what everyone thinks is, ah, the big hedge funds told you to stop us, and then you did, you cucks.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So, look, I think it's interesting. I think some of the commentary, which I want to quickly talk about before we move on, is also interesting. You know, it's like all of these like hedge funders and like these big time Wall Streeters are like, this is unacceptable. They're attacking the little billionaires. Like, we're only worth $10 million a piece. Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? That one billionaire who cried when Warren was talking about taxing billionaires, he was on CNBC and he's like, he's, you know, between crying like the bitch that he is. So, yeah, that crying billionaire from when Elizabeth Warren was like talking about the wealth tax, that dude was on like CNBC or something like that. And he's basically like, look, these people, you know, this is unfair to us, yada, yada, yada. These people need to basically get a life. They need to like go find girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever. And, you know, this is a possibility that these people will develop a gambling addiction and all this other stuff. Right. And everyone is pretty much in agreement that this is all nonsense. Right. You're just tired of watching your Wall Street boys get their fucking asses wrecked by like SimpLord69 on Reddit. You know, CuckBlaster14. And so, I mean, that might, it's not my name, but it might be a name. I don't know. Don't Google it. But I do think his point or other people's point are valid, that this is very likely to turn into gambling addiction for some people. And so people should be careful. I'm not telling people not to do it. If every hedge fund manager or hedge funder loses all their money and they're destitute and they have to sell me French fries at fucking Shake Shack, I don't give a fuck. That sounds awesome to me. Fuck those guys. But I do think it is a good idea to understand the shit you're getting into. Again, know, it's very addictive. And you're a reasonable guy, but it's very easy to get addicted to this shit. And it's real fast money. So just be careful.
But what are those high, you know, the high level traders? They're still doing the same thing. They're still fucking addicts.
Oh, those guys are No. Don't get me wrong. They are. The difference is they are gambling with other people's money. They're not gambling with their money. You're gambling with your money, right? Like, right. You and I talked before we started the show that, like, the way you're doing it and the way that other people I know who are doing it, like, I know Demetrius is doing it and stuff like that, you guys are gambling with your money. Like, here's $500. Oh, shit, I lost $500. End of story, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, hopefully you don't just keep throwing, you know, good money after bad.
Yeah. I mean, I live in Nevada. I've seen it happen to a lot of people. It's very possible.
Right.
To lose everything in this place.
Right. So,
but I've always had like a personal philosophy and I carry it over here, which is if I pull money out of my wallet to put it on the table, I'm considering that gone. Right.
Yeah.
Like this money no longer exists. This is being spent right here. Right. This is not,
even if you win.
Know, I need to turn this money into rent.
Yeah. Don't
do
that.
I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's a bad idea.
Right. Yeah. That's, you have to, your thought has to be like, as you're purchasing a stock, as you're purchasing a crypto coin, as you're setting money on a poker table, this, it's gone when it leaves your hand.
Yeah.
And if you get more back, cool.
Well, my wife and I have a gambling rule, right? When we go to Vegas or we go, you know, to any casino, the rule is this. You got two pockets. One pocket is the money that you take out to spend, to gamble. The other pocket is money that you make. You put that money in that pocket and you don't touch it, right? Like, look, we took out like, I don't know, we were in Vegas once and we had like $100 and we were playing blackjack, and it was like $100, like it was like $50. Each of us had $50, and we played, did the pocket rule, and you know what? We had a lavish $300 dinner at the end. Because you just,
nice.
Yeah, and you just took that money, you took that money and you put it in your pocket and you kept that. That was it. The way you guys are doing it, good at gambling,
but I did always, I haven't been in a long time because I have children.
But I used to
have a pretty good ability to stay alive for a long time.
I
take $50 to a blackjack table, play $5 hands, and be able to sit there drinking free drinks for 2 or 3 hours and walk out with the same $50. That was as good as I've ever done. I've never hit huge. I don't have $3,000 jackpot stories.
Oh, dude.
But I did go get drunk for free.
Oh, money. Yeah. That's, I mean, if nothing else in a casino, get fucking lit. Just give it a drink.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be garbage from the well. I don't care.
Who cares?
I'm drinking for free.
They want you to get drunk so you make mistakes. Of course. Duh. It's a fucking win-win for everyone. So the idea, like,
all you got to do is stay alive and you can get loaded.
Or pretend to play the slot machines and just get loaded that way, right?
My house that I lived at before this one, I was what I called stumbling distance from the winner's casino, because it was three blocks, and I would, I did that with my roommate a few times. We would wander down, we'd take money out ahead of time and like leave our ATM cards at home. Like,
yep, we're not exactly. Don't even bring that shit with you.
But it was like $40, $50. And then like 3 hours later, stumbling home, just loaded.
Yeah,
and then you wake up the next day and check your pocket. You're like, I have the same $50. That's pretty good.
I is smart. So like I'm like pretty good at blackjack. I was in Atlantic City for like a bachelor party, and I think I had like $25 or maybe $50 or something. And I played blackjack for a couple hours, and then I started getting sloppy because I was drinking scotch, which was like not a good idea. And I was at one point on that $50, like I was up like a couple grand.
Really?
Yeah, dude, I'm like, I'm not bad. I'm like, I'm pretty good. Wow. And I had a fucking run. I was like, I won like 6-7 hands in a row. And I was like, I'm out. And I went to another table. I was like, fuck the luck. Like, I'm out of here. And I was up like maybe 2 or 3 grand. And I just kept playing. And I was just like, fuck it. And then I just burned it all down to like $250 or something. And I was like, that's fine. Like, cause I only spent $50. So like, it wasn't a big deal. But what I want to talk quickly about before we get off the story is the dangerous way to do this, right? The smart way is to do what you guys are doing, which is take the amount of money, the pocket rule, right? Take the amount of money that you're going to spend it. You win, you lose, you fucking walk away. Right. You take all your profits and you fucking bounce, have a good time, you know, buy yourself a dinner, whatever. Right. Pay a bill. The dangerous way. And this is what people who are new into this shit don't understand. I used to do this shit when I was in college. Fucking bad idea. Right. I'm going to be a millionaire. Leveraging is what you don't want to do. And I've said that in our private group. I'm like, don't fucking leverage. Holy shit, they will come and take your car. Please don't. Leveraging is a bad idea. Leveraging is when you say, I've got $1,000. And Ameritrade or Robinhood or whatever is like, would you like to leverage that $1,000? How about let's leverage it to $2,000? Which means you borrow against yourself. And so you double what you put up. And it's enticing, right? You're like, well, I'm making all this money on fucking Dogecoin, or I'm making all this money on GME. Imagine if you had bought GME at $19 and someone says, well, let's leverage it. You put in $1,000. Let's leverage that shit to $2,000. Now, if you sold GME at $400, you get all that money. You get all the leverage money. You get all of it. But if you lost it, then you are in it way over your head. And that's what a margin call is at the end of the fucking day. You remember fucking what's the Eddie Murphy movie with the fucking stocks and shit?
Trading Places.
Trading Places. Thank you. I was saying Changing Lanes. That is not it. Trading Places. At the end where the fucking brothers are like, turn those machines back on. And the guy's like, hey, you know, money's due at the end of the trading day. That was leveraging, because they had leveraged so much money, because when you're rich, you can afford to leverage, right? Because like, oh, I lost, whatever, not a big deal. But if you're a regular guy and you leverage and you lose, that is how you lose your shirt. So please, if you're going to play this game, and it sounds like a blast, I almost want to get back into it, but I know myself better. I don't do day trading anymore. I do long-term stuff.
I told you guys,
don't leverage. Please
don't
leverage.
Out of all of the meme stocks, because it was...
It'll drive you crazy, dude.
I didn't play GameStop. It was just too freaking volatile. But I did, you know, some of the ones that they were pushing around. Like, I made a decent bit of money off AMC. And I rode Nokia for a while. And I was playing around with those. But they go up and down so fast. And I just can't.
No,
I
man.
Couldn't
don't,
do it.
Don't do it.
So I'm just... Yeah, I just... I put all my money into things that are just slowly accruing over time.
Yeah,
I got some Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
That one's probably going to make some money in the next year, since they're going to sell a billion vaccines.
Well, I would say if you make – that's actually a smart move. If you make a shit ton of money, take some of that and buy some really heavy long-term stock.
Like that's Apple, all I have now. It's just things I'm going to sit on for
like,
a while.
Like, dude, Apple ain't going nowhere. Like – buy that if you can afford it. Microsoft, like, buy these big blue chip stocks that you can't afford one share of going in. Like, I got one share of half a hair on Jeff Bezos's ball. Like, nah, man, you use that money. You do personal leveraging, and you take that money that you won on fucking Dogecoin and you buy some Amazon stock, right? Like, that's how you get into those, like, blue chips and shit like that you can't normally afford.
That is the thing Demetrius was talking about, was how many electric cars do you think are going to get sold in the next 10, 15 years?
That's exactly right.
Right? Biden announced they're by from now on, basically, every federally owned vehicle, which is hundreds of thousands of vehicles.
Yep, they're all electric.
They're going to be buying electric vehicles from now on. Yep. That's like every post office truck. You know, like every federal vehicle. It's a lot of vehicles, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then just electric cars, period, right? Yeah. I mean, there is a push now.
Battery companies.
Like, right. Well, but Democrats are now saying that they're going to legalize weed. If you can get in on the stocks that for the big weed companies, the international weed companies, that is going to be major money. Now, I have a feeling that those companies are already probably selling pretty high, but for the super big boys. But you want to get, like, if you can find, like, the Budweiser of weed, yeah, get in now if you can afford it.
Right? I told you I bought this little one called Sundial at 99 cents.
Yeah.
And it's a buck and a quarter now.
There you go.
That's fun. Yeah. I like little companies and watching them get bigger. That's a good time.
Yeah. Andy's going to be a billionaire by next week. You laugh.
Weed and electric cars.
I'm going to be rich.
I'm buying hippie bullshit.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. All right, let's jump to the next topic. This is a huge, huge story, and I kind of love it. Biden administration meets with Republicans over the COVID-19 $1.9 trillion plan. Republicans are like, yeah, it needs to be like $40 instead of $1.9 trillion. That should be enough. And Joe Biden was like, go fuck yourselves. We're not changing.
No, the 10 Republicans who you would probably refer to as the gettable ones, right?
Yeah.
If you were going to do a bill, you can probably name all 10. If you were going to do a bill that got 60 votes in the Senate,
yep.
The 10 Republicans you would need, you know, Susan Collins and them.
Yeah. The Murkowskis, if you will.
Yes. All those Republicans like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and Joe Manchin. So those
and Joe Manchin.
Those Republicans came up with a $600 billion plan.
Yep.
Right? Like, here's what we came up with. And they went and they brought it. And because Joe Biden is Joe Biden, like, sure, come on over.
I love the Senate.
Yeah, come tell me what you got. And then left that meeting, thanked everybody, and went right back and go, okay, so $1.9 trillion is what we're doing.
Yeah, fuck these guys.
Didn't budge an inch, which I love.
Yeah.
Which I love. Yep. And you can't. Like, there are people, like, we sent that clip around. Jim Justice, the Republican governor of West Virginia, is one of the guys going, you better do a huge stimulus because we're fucked, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
we live in West Virginia. Have you been here? Jesus Christ. We need $1.9 trillion on a regular day, let alone.
We're teetering on the edge of death under normal circumstances.
Yep.
And I think that's going to, like, Joe Manchin has really shut the fuck up about a lot of stuff.
It is interesting. I don't want to get too excited, but I kind of enjoy watching this happen so I can dunk on Brad and his stupid theory about Joe Manchin, which is probably going to happen anyway, and it'll just make me really sad. But for now, I'm just going to live in the light of Joe Manchin's progressivism.
Well, he had that one quote a couple weeks ago. He's like, $2,000. What would people need $2,000 for? That's crazy.
Yeah. And then the governor is like, shut the fuck up, dude. And he's like, you're right.
Like, yeah. What? Every West Virginian is going to have $2,000. Do you know what that's going to do for West Virginia? You can buy a house in West Virginia for $2,000.
That's not true. You can buy 2,000 houses in West Virginia for that. Have you ever been to West Virginia?
Yeah. I've been to 45 states.
Wow. Really? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
My first truck driving job was going over the road.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I've been to West Virginia. I dated a woman who had relatives there. West Virginia was the state that I met someone from who was an adult over 40 who couldn't read and was proud of it.
Wow.
Oh, I can't read, man. I don't give a shit. And I was like, wait, what? For real? Yeah, man, I never learned how to read.
The average home price
in
West Virginia.
Let me guess.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
$120,000? $108,000. Wow. That's not a lot. That's not a lot. They also don't have, they don't have rules for like where you can build shit, which is a problem, right? Like, you could just build a plant to extract oil from the ground and just spill it onto the fucking dirt next to like a mansion. Like, they just don't have those kind of rules. They're just like, whatever. People will have like a mansion and then like a burnt out trailer will be like 2 feet away from it. Like, it's very, very, very weird.
West Virginia is the cheapest state to buy a house.
I believe that.
Yeah, $108,000 is the median home price. You can buy a 3-bedroom in Fayetteville for $55,000.
Good.
How about that? Yeah. I also learned Joe Manchin. Did you know where he stays when he's in Washington, D.C.?
K Street?
On a houseboat in the fucking Potomac.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of respect that. Like, that's weird, but I respect that. I respect the weirdness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very Joe Manchin.
I don't live on land like all these goddamn progressives. I live on a boat like a man from Virginia. West Virginia.
I like that you figured something out, because he's used to West Virginia prices, and he looked at, like, their apartment rent in D.C. Like,
hey, Jesus Christ, I'm just going to fucking drive my houseboat over.
That is so fucking weird. So,
yeah,
so,
he sleeps in the goddamn river. Fucking Joe Manchin.
He's the down by the river guy. Like, he's that meme, like, or that joke, like the fucking Chris Farley joke. I live in a boat down by the river. Well, on the river, actually, like, to be specific.
How much of a commute is that if you live in West Virginia to go to D.C.? That's not that far, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's probably not that far. Right?
A couple hours?
Yeah. You know, a slow ride up the river to work. What a fucking kook.
Is it further than Delaware? Because, like, Joe Biden famously never lived in Washington as a senator.
Yeah, he just took the train. I feel like by boat, you can get to West Virginia to D.C. faster than you can get by train from Delaware.
He didn't drive his boat up the river every...
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes,
he did. He takes his boat home every week.
Every weekend.
No.
Joe Manchin. No, just... bullshit. No, I don't believe you. Joe Manchin drives his own boat. It's his own boat. That's my headcanon, is that he takes his own boat to and fro West Virginia.
No, he leaves a boat in D.C. and stays there when he's in D.C.
No,
he
doesn't
drive
no.
the what, fucking boat.
What kind of man would sit and take someone else's boat? No.
No. No, it's his boat. I'm pretty sure he keeps the boat in D.C.
Why would he?
He's commuting in a boat.
I think he commutes in a boat.
That'd be funny.
I think that would be awesome if he.
Do
actually...
you think he smells like a river, like while he's in the Senate?
Like, yeah, they're like, Jesus Christ, Joe.
He's like, you got a shower on your houseboat?
He's like, well,
nah, I just bathe in the Potomac.
It's fine. By the way, I don't think we should spend any money on the Green New Deal. Oh, fuck off, Joe. So look, no, I do think the COVID-19 thing though is important, because Biden has clearly learned a lesson from being Veep under Obama, that there are no heroes in the Republican Party. And it seems to me, at least as of like 2 or 3 days ago, he signed like 44 executive orders, and Republicans are like, who's the fucking Hitler now? But it is kind of interesting that Joe Biden is like, oh, word? Fuck everybody. We're helping people. You call me a dictator all you want. He's actually making moves to not allow Republicans in Congress to fuck up his agenda. It's actually kind of bewildering to see how well he learned that lesson.
Because he was the guy who did it, right? Like people talked about, it is sort of spoken about when people talk about the Obama administration, with the way they kept going back and trying to get bipartisanship on things, as like, I don't know, maybe some naivete on Obama's part, or I don't know, hopeless optimism or something, where, you know, like when they had to do a bailout plan, it was important to them to be seen as, for it to be seen as bipartisan.
Yeah, because it was it was his very first bill.
Yeah, but the point man on that was Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Right? Biden was his man. Obama spent 4 years in the Senate. He was not like Mr. U.S. Senate.
Right.
He was there for 4 years, and half of that he was running for president. Right. He barely knew these dudes. But
where do we even go to be in the Senate? What's the address?
Right. He's not, you know, he was not the guy who everybody knew in the Senate. That was Joe Biden. And he was the one who kept going back. And he got burned by all those guys.
Yep. His friends.
And he's the one. He's the one who kept going back. Like, he kept going back and like, all right, what can we do to get like, there's over 200 Republican amendments in the Affordable Care Act, and none of them voted for it.
Yep.
It got one Republican vote in the House, like, and no Senate votes. And Biden was the one who was in there wheeling and dealing and trying to make these bipartisan deals. And he got burned by all those guys. So this is like it wasn't just that the country got burned or Barack Obama got burned or Democrats got burned. Joe Biden is carrying this chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, personally.
But all these guys
he thought were his friends, like, they probably, I'm assuming, looked him right in the face and said, yes, if you make these changes, I'll vote for it. And they didn't.
Yep.
They lied right to his fucking face.
Yep.
So he's not going to fall for that again. And he will, because he is Joe Biden, he will make overtures like he did this week. He'll say, yeah, come on in. Come talk to me. Tell me your ideas. I want to hear them.
Yeah. Then go eat and shit. Then,
right. And then if they're not what he wants to do, he will disregard them and they will ram it through reconciliation. And I kind of like what, because people were asking Jen Psaki, like, well, won't that not look bipartisan if you just do this, you know, on a reconciliation bill? And she had the right answer, which is they're free to vote on a reconciliation bill. They can vote with us if they want. There's no, yeah. There's nothing saying
it's not Democrats.
It doesn't have to be 51 exactly.
Right. It's,
you can all vote on this if you want.
Right.
We're not stopping you.
It's not Democrat. It's not the Democrats' fault that you refuse to vote for anything with them. That is your decision. Again, like like I talked about when Brad and I were on last week. People talk about this like, you know, armchair quarterbacks like us and other, you know, people who follow this stuff. We often talk about how they talk as if Republicans don't exist. Even the media does it. Well, isn't this not bipartisan? You know, bipartisan has the word bi in it for a reason. It does not mean that Republicans don't have to ever worry about bipartisanship and Democrats always have to worry about bipartisanship. You're free to vote for it if you want to. If you don't, it's not us not reaching out to you. They reached out to you. You have slapped their hand away. Okay. Yeah,
they listen to their ideas. They listen to their suggestions. They want to know that they did the smart thing, which is here's the $1.9 trillion bill. And all they're saying is, it's too big. Okay, what specifically do you want to cut out? Because we think we need all of this. We think this is all vital.
Yeah.
So what specifically do you want to take out? And the only specific I've heard is, those payments are too high or they're going to too many people or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah.
And that shit's stupid too. Because let's say you're going to give somebody, $1,400. You know, whatever.
Right.
It is already, if you give somebody a straight $1,400, it is already essentially, you know, means tested. Because if you make $175,000 a year and live in a big city where you're paying $3,500 rent, $1,400 means less to you than it does to that guy in West Virginia.
Yeah.
You're already getting less money comparatively.
Yep.
But it's not like those cities are not going to need help. Also, it's going off of 2019 taxes. A lot of people are not doing as well as they were in 2019.
No.
20 million obviously. People lost their jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Also, like the tax situation is very different from now compared to 2019. It's significantly different. You know, people are going to find that out when they go to file their taxes this time around. But, you know, but the media will always be like, well, it's really fucked. I don't know what happened. Like, you know, you could always look back at the guy who made the changes, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But it's I don't know. I hope they don't fall for that. That like, oh, well, you know, it was already figured out, right? Like if a married couple makes more than $150,000, they get less, right? Like you didn't get the same $1,200 everybody else got, right?
Right.
You're not saying too much that you and your wife are both professionals. It's not telling too much to say that the two of you collectively made over $150,000.
Yes, we did.
I would hope you did.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's unfair.
You
are
both professionals who work full time with postgraduate degrees. You two better be making more than $150,000.
No comment.
But yeah. So
we're getting screwed, man. We need that money.
So what did that $1,200 look like for people at your bracket?
Dude, it's nothing. It's nothing.
They didn't give, did they give you half that or did it? tapered down, or what happened?
No, I don't get anything.
You got nothing? Good. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Rich hedge fund manager.
Not a hedge fund. I wish I was a hedge fund manager. Well, not right now. I guess I don't. But no, we didn't get it. We didn't get anything.
You haven't got a stimulus at all?
No, dude. We're rich.
Well, that's shitty.
We're rich.
Oh, wow.
They don't give stimulus out to millionaires. Get the fuck out of here. Can you imagine? Rich. No, you can't be rich if you have kids. I don't give a fuck how much money you have. That shit is not real. Those two things are not possible. I've got $1 billion. You got one kid, you don't have $1 billion. Oh, yeah. You have the idea of $1 billion.
Right.
No, I am. No, we didn't get any stimulus. That's why I think it's unfair, and I think poor people are stealing money from me. But that's why I don't have a dog in the fight, right? Like, I just don't. Besides the fight of we should raise the number.
Right.
That's my point.
With this one, they were talking about is that a married couple earning up to $300,000 or something like that could potentially get stimulus money. And people are like, ah, that's too much. I'm like, well, not necessarily.
Depends on where you live. By the way,
what's $1,400 in San Francisco?
This is nothing. It's nothing. By the way, $300,000? Yeah, we're doing all right. Yeah, let's raise that number. Let's raise it to 300,000. That's awesome. Are you kidding me? We're doing fine. We ain't doing that good. God damn. But
that was what people are freaking out about. But then, yeah, again, you know, you don't need to waste a lot of time means testing it and trying to target specifically, because giving people money just in general is good for the economy because they're going to spend it.
Yeah.
People that need the money, people that are like, fuck, I'm behind on all my bills. That money's going to get spent immediately on bills.
Yeah, absolutely.
People in my position who, I mean, I've been fortunate. I haven't lost any work this year. That money just went to fucking bullshit. Like, I'll just hop on Amazon and buy some dumb stuff. Like, that's,
I mean, that's pretty much what we do every day, but
yeah, I mean, that's, Got my stimmy check. Time to go stimulate the economy. My son wants a ninja costume. I'm going to go buy it.
We got a snowblower today.
See? Yeah. Stimulate the economy.
Yeah, right after the better fucking storm. I was so pissed.
Hang on. Was it an American snowblower?
I don't give a shit. Fucking cares. Was this made in America? It's being used in America. Is that enough? This is American snow. I don't give a fuck. Let's go.
Did you see that thing going around? Just unrelated to anything, but after Biden announced his Buy American plan, which is like anytime the government spends money, they're going to spend it on American stuff and American companies, and so American workers are getting paid. Should be the case anyway. But that was his idea. And Fox News immediately is like, well, that's really going to anger China.
Wow. Dude, come on. All right. Jesus Christ. You can't win coming or going, dude.
I gotta figure. It was one of those dumb blondes that they have.
Yeah, you're gonna have to be way more specific.
I need to find the clip. I'm like, no.
You don't get to claim that one. Like, come on, man.
You spent all year going, Shanghai Biden is gonna sell us out to the Mandarins. And then the second he gets it, goes, we're only gonna buy American products. Well, I mean, that's kind of unfair to China.
Well, what about the Chinese?
They sell a lot of things too.
You know, they're people too, Joe. Like, fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck right off.
What the fuck? No. I hope everybody sees the game and ignores it.
Yeah, it's just like, dude, whatever he says, I gotta just say the opposite. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean
like
anything.
All of this bullshit I've seen over the last couple of weeks with the Keystone pipeline. I'm like, oh, I can't believe it. Yeah. You're gonna make us dependent on foreign oil. I'm like, that's Canadian! Shut up! Shut up! It's a pipeline from Canada. What the? Shut your fucking mouth.
That's fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Whatever he does, they're gonna come with a stupid answers.
Of course.
Whereas, we cost 1,200 jobs. Like you, yes, your 1,200? Boy lost 20 million.
Yeah. Well, I saw Kevin Sorbo said, "Hey, you know, January had the most deaths of any month of COVID under Biden coincidence. I was like, wait, dude, come on. All right. Wow, dude. Wow. You are the goddamn worst. And I hope Xena comes to your house and beats you to death.
It was like the second that Trump took office, he starts touting the, you know, the great job numbers and all this stuff and, you know, how low unemployment is. And everybody just went with it. And then he starts comparing, well, look at the first month of the Trump administration to the first month of the Obama administration. And I thought everybody was smart enough to see how ridiculously dumb that is. And everyone was not.
No, they were not.
Everyone was like, wow, Trump's killing it. Look, look.
Really? What did he do?
Nothing. He showed up. The same thing he does with his buildings and his golf courses. He slapped his name on it and demanded credit.
Yeah.
But they're doing the exact same shit. And I told you they were going to do it, and...
Oh, it's all Biden's
fault. Jay told you they were going to do it. This is now the Biden pandemic.
Like, yo.
Just like it was the Obama recession, if you remember.
Of course.
We're losing jobs at an incredible rate. You've been here for 3 weeks. Why haven't you fixed it?
It's like, dude, what the fuck?
Like, how does everyone not see through this shit?
Because they don't want to. Yeah, they just don't want to. They just don't want to.
I don't know. So so he's going to spend 4 years turning it around. And it's fine. It's going to take all four, too.
It will.
Get hammered in the midterms because everything's not immediately better. Which is why it's smart what they're doing with the stimulus. It has to be large. It has to be impactful because the country cannot do another slow 10-year build back to decent.
Right. And look, he might, I mean, look, if they can, the ramp up of the like COVID vaccines and the distribution and stuff like that, he is clearly moving at a clip to get it done. If he is able to really get the vaccinations up, and I think he will be, I think people are like jonesing for this shit. If he can have that federal response be what I think it's going to be, and then there's talk of another vaccine coming that's a single shot that doesn't need to be like refrigerated at some like crazy rate or something. If that happens and you get a lot of kids or a lot of people vaccinated and you get people back in school, largely back in school, I think there is a decent chance that he gets rewarded for that. The question is, how well does he get rewarded, right? If that economy comes roaring back, there's no argument from Republicans. They'll make a bullshit one, but there's not a good one. If people are back to work and like shit is moving again, they're in a world of trouble. Republicans are in a world of trouble, and they're going to have to make it about something else. So, look, if I was Biden, I would be like, look, here's what's happening. We're going to do this. And then right before the midterms, we're going to hit them with some more money. That's what I would do. Yeah. I would hit people with another like $2,000 a couple months before.
It needs to be really visible so people can,
tell. Don't do what Obama did, which was like do good things and not brag about it. Brag on your shit like Republicans do when they don't do anything. Do like fix shit and be like, yo, Big Joey did that. You like that check? Put your face on it. I would send that check with a pair of free aviators to every single American.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's the difference between Biden and Obama. Biden is a cocky prick, so he's going to go ahead and...
Yeah. But also and here's an obvious thing that may not feel as obvious to some people. Biden's a white guy. And there's shit he can get away with doing that the first black president could not do, right? Because I can already see it coming of look how much more Biden's able to get done than Obama. Biden and Obama are not the same guy. They're not the same guy. They're not, their moment in history isn't the same. They're very different. And that's not making an excuse for Obama or anything like that. But if you don't think the difference between their races matters and how people see them and what they can do and can't do, then you don't, like, then you don't realize like what America truly is, right?
No, I've already seen it from people on the left. They're like, oh, Biden's further left than Obama. No, he's not.
No, he isn't. Like,
no, he isn't. No, there's there is no planet. there's no way that Biden is anywhere near the left of Obama.
Right. It's just
but that, Obama did what he could what he felt he could do.
Right. Like, know? Like under a Biden administration, there's a solid fucking chance he signs marijuana legalization. You think Obama could have done that? No. There's no fucking way he could have. As much as he probably wanted to. There's no way, because it would have destroyed any, like, he would have had to do that shit on the last day of his presidency and be like, weed, I'm out. Like, because the second he did it, everything else that he tried to do would be painted as the first black president legalizing drugs. That's exactly what it would be, because that is what white people would do to him. So Biden gets to do that, and it would be fine. They'd be like, well, it's very progressive of him, and that would be it.
There's a reason that Vice President Biden was the one who came out for same-sex marriage before President Obama did.
Right.
He can get away with more.
Right. And then once it was a trial balloon floated and people were like, all right, we'll accept it from a white man, then Obama could come out and he swung black people on the issue 30 points.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Biden being who he is, he just says shit anyway.
Yeah, he don't give a fuck. You know, I think I think the gays should get married. All right.
That was probably some behind the scenes talk he wasn't supposed to say, and then he just came out and go, ah, yeah, no, we're all for it over here. Like, god damn it, Joe.
That was supposed to be next week. Frankly, it's my favorite type of porn. Wait, what? Like, they put more passion into it. He probably just doesn't give a fuck. He just said it.
That's real quick, I found the Jim Justice quote. This is the governor of West Virginia. He said, because again, he's a governor of a state that is not doing well. Just so you know where this is coming from.
Yeah.
I don't think America can go wrong being too high. I think America's got to go to a higher number. Trying to be per se fiscally responsible at this point in the time of what we got going on in the country. If we actually throw away some money right now, so what?
Yeah, I saw that interview. I liked that the woman, I think she was like CNN, she was like, wait, what?
Yeah, are you serious? Poppy Harlow.
Yeah, like, are you aware that you're from West Virginia? Do you know who you are? Like,
you're the Republican governor of a state that went for Trump by literally 70 fucking points.
Fuck the economy, we need help.
We gotta stimulate this motherfucker. What debt? Who cares about debt?
And like, the Republicans are like, hey, Jim, do we care about the deficit now? Did you not get the memo?
I don't give a fuck about your memo. People starving.
call that son of a bitch on that houseboat and get it done. He drives his own houseboat. I don't care what you say.
You can't have the Republican governor of your state be out on your left on this shit if you're Joe Manchin.
No, hell no. And that's exactly why Biden sent Harris to talk to the governor of Arizona and the governor of West Virginia. That was a fucking boss move. It was super, super bright. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing about the governors more than senators or congressmen. I mean, for one, they're in their states. They're not in Washington. But they're looking at the numbers. They know how much trouble they're in.
Yeah.
And they know what they need from the government. And so, yeah, if you're the governor of a state that's fucking struggling, yeah, you all need to be like Jim Justice right now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's talk about let's do a little after party. Justice Democrats decided that they are going to primary Sexy Joe Manchin and regular Joe Manchin. On a scale of this is going to blow up in your face to this is really going to blow up in your face, where do you put this move by the Justice Democrats?
Well, it's not going to blow up in their face. It's just going to fail. Like, people have been primarying Joe Manchin as long as he's been there. He wins.
I think it's hilarious.
That's the thing. It's the thing about West Virginia. Like, a lot of the Democrats of West Virginia are like Joe Manchin. They're conservative Democrats. That's still a thing there. There are progressives there, not enough to win a primary. And even if you did,
you're going to lose the general, dude. You're going to lose.
You get smoked.
You're going to get fucking wrecked.
Yeah. Like I said, Trump won that fucking thing by 70%. 70% or something?
Like, why don't you just run a fucking progressive in, I don't know, Wyoming or another fucking name of Ruby Red State? Like, there's no point. There's no point in wasting your time. I'm not saying you don't try at all, but if you think that you're going to primary a Democrat who somehow pulls out this level of success and then somehow beat a Republican. Yeah. Look, no, when I say, by the way, when I say this blows up in their face, I mean losing a fucking seat in the Senate because of this bullshit. And people, you might as well, you know, you might as well get a Republican the way Joe Manchin votes. No, I'll take Joe Manchin over a Republican, dude. Like, it's silly that we make this argument that Joe Manchin is exactly like a Republican. He isn't. He isn't. He votes with Republicans probably 30% of the time, but the other 70% of the time he's with the Democrats. Like,
yeah, he sucks, but you know.
But come on, that's stupid. That's sort of that nihilist, you're either all with me or all against me mentality, which I think is pretty pretty stupid.
There are a couple of very frustrating Democrats in, and he's not even a purple state Democrat, right? He's a ruby red.
Right. There's no question. It is a ruby red state.
Oh. Yeah, and that's what you're gonna get out of there. You're not gonna get better than John Tester either over in Montana. You know?
Yeah.
That's
you're just not
and I like John Tester. I think he's funny.
I'm sorry. I am very wrong. I apologize. As of April 2020, 538 says that Joe Manchin votes with Trump's position 53% of the time. So
there you go.
Okay, so he's considered 55% conservative, 46% liberal. Okay, that's fair. He's more conservative than he is liberal. Here's my problem. 46% liberal. What do you think that percentage is of a Republican from West Virginia? Do you think it's 47% or 0%?
Well, and think about the type of Republican you're going to get out of West Virginia.
Thank you. That's my fucking
not going to be a reasonable moderate.
Right? No, he's going to be it's going to be a fucking lunatic.
You know what he is he's like the Susan Collins of the Democrats.
Yep.
Susan Collins has figured out she was the only senator this cycle who managed to get elected when her state went another way. Right? Mm-hmm. Maine went heavy for Biden. Like big. He won Maine solidly. And Susan Collins managed to get reelected comfortably.
Yeah.
You have whatever it is. You have to have some kind of something there. Yeah. And Susan Collins is frustrating as fuck too, but you can get her on a couple of things.
I mean, here's the thing: Susan Collins definitely votes more for Republicans than she does for Democrats. She's like 87%.
For sure.
With the Dems, with the Republicans. But it's again, if you're a Republican, you might hate Susan Collins. But they you're do. Still getting her the vast majority of the time. And
they would prefer a Tom Cotton up there, but Tom Cotton can't win Maine.
Right. She can. For some fucking she reason. Can. So I think Christian Sinema, that's definitely I think Arizona is ripe for being able to primary her. I mean, I'm okay if she stays in some capacity.
She's being super cautious, but I think you can get away with more in a purple and drifting blue state like Arizona. I think you can get away with a little more. You don't have to play Joe Manchin games, right?
No, I think you absolutely could get a progressive in Arizona. West Virginia is a stupid move. I think it's a stupid move. I think it could easily very well cost you a seat in the Senate over that bullshit.
For sure. No, the move is to get people elected to get more people in there. So you don't have to worry about Joe Manchin.
That's right? Exactly
get
right.
Shit passed without having to capitulate to Joe Manchin. We have opportunities, right? It's not going to be easy. Like, you know, we talked about this last time I was on, but we have to defend, Mark Kelly's seat and Raphael Warnock's seat.
Yep.
In 22. it's not a given, right? Especially since in the midterms, it tends to tilt away from the party in power.
Right.
So that's not easy. But there's a couple of pickup opportunities in states that Biden won, in Pennsylvania and in Wisconsin. Those are both states that Biden won, and they have Senate seats up. Was it Toomey is retiring?
Yep.
And Ron Johnson is a psychopath. And Wisconsin's so weird to me, right? It's a swing state, but they have like an openly gay progressive senator and just a complete right wing lunatic senator. Yep. That's what you have in Wisconsin.
You're not wrong.
But yeah, it's how are those your senators? How are Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson your senators?
I hate Ron
in the
Johnson.
Same state. He's the worst.
Yeah,
it's the fucking worst.
Sucks.
So he had said at the beginning of this term he wasn't going to run for re-election. I don't know if he's going to hold to that, but he'll probably see what the mood's like. But I think that's a pickup opportunity right there.
Yeah, it is.
That guy sucks. But yeah, try to get them. I mean, Pennsylvania is an open seat, and you have the most badass politician in the country in your lieutenant governor, John Fetterman, and he's running.
Is he going to run?
Get that.
Is he
gonna? Yeah, he announced it already. He's running. Yeah, John Fetterman for the Senate. For any of, we have a couple of listeners in Pennsylvania. For the love of God, send that man to the Senate. Although, bad news, though, I don't think you can wear shorts in the Senate chamber.
Bullshit, you can't. Bullshit, you can't. He's going to do it.
He's going to wear shorts and a fucking bowling shirt.
I hope he wears fucking sweatshorts like the fucking dude from Big Lebowski. Who's gonna check that guy? Hey, maybe you should shut the fuck up or I'll knock your teeth out. You're right. All right. It's cool, man. It's cool.
Yeah, send Fetterman to the Senate. That guy's amazing.
No, he's awesome. I think he should just start fist fighting Republicans. I would love it. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck it. You gotta send he kinda looks like Kane, right? Like just fucking send that guy over there. And he walks in, they just fucking drop the lights, and there's like the red flames. Oh, shit! Fetterman's in the building! Just comes out.
He's gonna choke slam those Republicans straight to hell!
Yeah, hell yeah. They need Paul Bearer to come out with him to announce his candidacy. Is Paul Bearer still alive? Mm-mm. He died?
No, he died a while ago.
Oh, yeah. That's too bad. Paul Bearer was awesome.
He's like 500 pounds and like 5'2".
What?
Of course he died.
He wasn't that big, was he?
He was a big. I don't know.
I mean, he was a bit of a chunk. He was a
hefty fellow.
Paul Bearer. What a great name! What a fucking great name, man. American Funeral Director. That isn't. I don't think he was an American Funeral Director as Google thinks he is. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah, I think it's...
All right, Paul Bearer was 5'10", 350.
That's a... Yo, 5'10", wow. Dude, I'm 5'9", and I'm nowhere near 350.
Okay, imagine 350 on you.
Oof. That's a big man. That's a big man. Yeah. Oh, there he is without all the makeup. He looks like a fucking regular dude.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I prefer him like with all the fucking crazy makeup. That's way better.
Oh, my Undertaker.
Whoa, is that him with like a haircut? Holy shit. That's crazy. Yeah, no, he was awesome. He kind of looks like a guy I know, which is sad. Yeah, I think Justice Democrats are going to either one, get really disappointed in West Virginia or really fuck up in West Virginia. One of the two. I hope they just get disappointed. Alexei Navalny, sentenced to 2.5 years in a Russian prison because he might have violated his parole while he was recuperating in Germany for being poisoned by Vladimir Putin in Russia.
Wow.
Dude, go fuck yourself. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah, Alexei Navalny, I hate to say this, probably not going to make it out of prison. Probably not.
No. You're in prison where they control your food and they've already poisoned him twice.
Yeah, they're probably just going to fucking stab this guy to death. Which is awful. I wouldn't have come back. I wouldn't have come back.
No.
I mean, they were like, we're going to arrest your family. I'd be like, Joke's on them. I'm not coming back, dude. Sorry. When I was on the stretcher, I'd be like, y'all need to fucking leave. Get the fuck out of there. We live in a shithole. Like, for real.
Thing about him, right? Like, and there are people that are like, oh, I don't know, you look at some of his positions, he's not that great and whatever. It doesn't matter.
Dude, it's from fucking Russia.
No, he believes in democracy, right? And that is a revolutionary idea when you're run by a dictator.
Yeah.
And
I'll take it.
Yeah. And the guy really loves his country. And, you know, that is some of the more problematic positions, is he's sort of nationalistic about some things. But you can't, when you are, you know, when you love your country, when you genuinely want the best for your country and are trying to turn it around to get it out of the hands of Putin so that democracy can flourish in your country, I don't know that he can stay away. Because the best move for him is just stay the fuck away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fighting for the
future.
Hope
they take you in Germany or somewhere and just never set foot in Russia again, but he couldn't do it.
Yeah, he loves the country, man. I mean,
yeah.
All the footage I've seen of Russia and everything I've read, I don't really get his point, but but I don't get it, Alexei.
No.
No,
you get it.
No,
you get it.
No, I don't.
You get it.
I
you do.
I don't.
You do.
I don't.
You know why?
Russia?
You know why? Man. No. I know you get it. Are you ready? Yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because you love Baltimore.
God damn it.
You love Baltimore.
I do like Baltimore.
You care about Baltimore. You want the best for Baltimore.
That's true.
You left. And you came back.
I didn't want to come back.
Uh-huh.
I didn't
you
try.
You didn't have to. You came back. You want the best
I
for Baltimore.
That is not why I came back. I can tell you that.
No, I know. But you do. But you do.
I do want the best
for
Baltimore.
You want that city to do well. You want it to flourish. You want the best for its people because you genuinely love
I do.
Baltimore.
But if somebody was like, yo, if you step foot on North Avenue, we're going to shoot you in the head. I'd be like, fuck Baltimore. I'm never coming back. I can get Old Bay anywhere. You're not coming, dude. No, I'm good.
You know the rest of us look at Baltimore the way you look at Moscow, right? Like, it's like, I don't know about that place.
Yeah, I don't.
But you love it.
Yeah, well,
you guys are
racist. Well. You guys are racist. It's a beautiful city of madness. Right. I love my little corner of madness.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Alexei Navalny genuinely cares about Russia.
He
wants it to do well.
Yeah, but my problem is I don't like that you're comparing Baltimore to a shithole like Russia. No, but no, I do understand. I do understand it. But again, yo, they poisoned this nigga. Yeah, I'd be like, I'm out. You know? Like, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, you know, that's
fuck
true.
Off.
Yeah,
man.
If the mayor of Baltimore had poisoned you twice.
Yeah, I'd be like, dude, I gotta go. I get it. I hear you. I hear you.
Message heard. Yeah. All right, I'm going. Yeah. I'm going to move to Des Moines or something.
Right. Like, if the former mayor of Baltimore, like Jack Young, was like, he put polonium in my fucking Daily Earl Grey, I'd be like, all right, I fucking get it. I'm out of here. Like, and then like Brandon Scott is like, "Hey, I'm the new mayor. It's cool." I'd be like, "I don't trust you, man. I like your afro, but I don't trust it." Like,
the last
I'm not coming
mayor
back.
Made me eat polony.
Right? Like, I can't.
I'm gonna go see
it.
What. I'm gonna go see what Carl's got going on in Omaha. I gotta go.
I'm fucking
I want to be far, far away from here.
What I'm basically saying is, Alexei Navalny is fucking hard headed. Is what I'm saying. No, but I do get it. But I'll just read a future headline. Alexei Navalny dies in prison. And that's going to be really fucking sad. But he created the movement.
Do it, somebody in prison is going to do it to try to curry favor.
Yeah.
Because they know this is a guy Putin wants dead. And then you're going to kill him. And then you go, hey, I am man who killed Navalny.
Yeah, let me
please
out.
Please commute my sentence.
Yeah. And then they'll kill that guy. Oops.
Right, yeah.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah. Thank you very much for doing this. Oh, you fell out the window. Oh,
yeah, shot self in the head with shotgun 12 times. How did you even get a gun in prison? I don't know. Russian
prison.
We need
to do something.
Crazy.
We need to do something about this. The Russians are the clumsiest people.
Yeah, they keep falling out of bathtubs 40 floors up. So, yeah, it's sad. I hope he survives. I truly do. But the likelihood of that is low. That being said, Alexei Navalny has inspired millions of people. And so even if he falls, there will be somebody to pick up the banner.
And that's something they probably need to think about, too, is that you don't want to make a martyr out of this guy.
Yeah. And that's all.
Because he has awakened the pro-democracy forces in Russia. And there are, like, there are now, like, pro-Navalny, anti-Putin protests. And you don't
and
want
there's
that.
And there's a lot of them. Announced that he's getting two and a half years. That sparked more protests. So, yeah. It's not going to die.
And that is the first step, right? Like, just being pro-democracy. Like, if that's... We talked about that a bit with this sort of odd Biden coalition that we had. The weird collection of 81 million people that voted for him.
Yeah.
It was just people that, like, didn't like what Trump was doing.
Right.
But you don't have a lot in common with everybody who voted for Biden, you know?
No. No, I don't. And that's okay. You don't have... Everybody doesn't have to be on the same...
Right. But you have to get to that step. You have to get somebody who is going to, you know... You need a Navalny or someone like that who's going to preserve the democracy of your country.
Yep.
And then you can move it in any direction you want. You can go conservative. You can go more liberal. You can go democratic socialist, whatever you want to do. But if the people are not given that choice, then you can't get there.
Yeah. That sucks.
So that's what Russia needs. And you have awakened Sleeping Bear.
Yep.
It's a lot of people. And they're not happy. But Putin has pulled so much bullshit to avoid just running straight up him versus Navalny.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to.
Because he might lose.
He's not going to lose, but...
Well, yeah.
I mean, this shit is rigged as fuck. But, yeah, he might only get 87% of the vote.
But he has always prevented Navalny from running in the first place.
Yep, he's terrified of him.
Yeah.
This is because Putin is a coward. Don't tell him I said that. I'm very scared of him.
Yeah, we're over here.
All right, talk shit, get hit. Putin is my favorite guy. I love him. He's awesome. I like how short he is. That's my favorite thing. He's a real man. Guy will fucking have us murdered. So let me run a story by you, and you let me know if this sounds familiar. There is a country that had an election that the person from the National League of Democracy, more of a Democrat, if you will, won the election in a landslide. However, armed forces backed the opposition and demanded a rerun of the vote, claiming widespread fraud. The election commission said there was no evidence to support these claims. Then the military was like, oh, word? How about a coup right as a new session of parliament was set to start? This is what's happening in Myanmar or Burma. And the coup was successful. And the woman who won, Aung San Suu Kyi, she's been booted out. She's been arrested. They brought down some bullshit charges on her. And the military is in charge. This is the QAnon dream, right? This is what they wanted to happen.
There's been posts on Parler like, our military could do that. Like, that's what they want.
Yeah, this is exactly what they wanted.
They wanted a military dictatorship, which is wild. You don't want to live in a military dictatorship. That's not great. The people of Myanmar are not going to be having a good time.
And this is for a year. Future. They're saying that they will control everything for a year before they have free and fair elections, which is a fucking joke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, this is what we're trying to avoid. This is why, it's just wild to me that you'd be rooting for this.
Yeah, and then, like, summarily executing Democrats on fucking television with, like, military tribunals, which is fucking weird. I thought Chris Hayes did a really good job talking about that, by the way, was like, yeah, you guys do know, like, they just want to, like, shoot Democrats in the head on TV, right? Like, you guys are aware of this?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because we should probably put this crazy shit into context.
It's true. Like, as, you know, strategically, it seems like they're going to be trying to tie Republicans more to QAnon, which they're making quite easy to do.
Yeah. Do you think that's actually going to work? I'm very scared.
You really
need
to say what it is, because like whenever you talk to an actual QAnon person, they'll usually be kind of, you know, they'll tiptoe around it, like, well, you know, there's corruption in the government and we're just against that, and there's, you know,
no, you're not.
But their definition of corruption is not like, I don't know, I would define it as for example, let's say you have a hotel down the street from the White House, and anyone who wants to get a meeting with you has to stay in that hotel, and the profits from that hotel goes to the president you're meeting with. That's corruption
that,
to me.
That's like solid run-of-the-mill corruption.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. That, just very cut and dry. The QAnon version of corruption is Jew-run cabal of baby-eating pedophiles and possibly lizard people. Like, it's every conspiracy theory all mashed into one. They throw in some sovereign citizen stuff lately, just like anything they can find. It is the super group. It is the traveling Wilburys of conspiracy theories.
Wilburys. That's funny.
It's got bits and pieces of absolutely everything mashed together.
I like that. The traveling Wilburys of bullshit. Yeah. Like it truly is that.
It really was the weirdest fucking group.
Like, what are you guys doing?
What? Yeah, well, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get Bob Dylan, George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, and Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison is the oddest.
What was Roy Orbison doing at the traveling wheel?
I don't know. Why was even Tom Petty there?
I could see Tom Petty hanging out with George Harrison and Bob Dylan and Jeff Lynne. That kind of makes sense. Why the fuck is George, is Roy Orbison?
He was the fucking goat. That's right.
Sure.
He was.
Yeah, get some fucking Roy Orbison.
Well, you need one, like, Roy Orbison is so fucking old. Or at the time he was so fucking old. Like he was 1,000 years old forever. But yeah, that is really weird. That's Roy Orbison. Wow. That is, yeah. Yeah, that's fucking strange.
I wouldn't be there at that meeting. Okay. All right. So we'll get Bob. All right. Yeah. Of course. Get Tom. Do you think George would do it? Yeah. We get Jeff Lynne probably. Okay. Hey, how about Roy Orbison? What the fuck?
Why? Why? Why would we do that? Why wouldn't we do that?
Wouldn't we? Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody needs a, every team needs a Ringo. They're like, fuck it.
Yeah. Well, so that's kind of, I mean, that is sort of QAnon, right? Like, which is it built off of the stupid Pizzagate shit.
Right.
It's like, oh, these Democrats are secretly pedophiles. And then, like, somebody drags the Roy Orbison out of from mothballs in the closet, and that's, you know, that's the protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Yeah, well, you gotta have the classics.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The protocols of the Elders of Zion is the equivalent of Pretty Woman in the...
I was just thinking that, too. Oh, my God. Elders of Zion.
Yeah, and they mix that in there.
Yeah, you gotta have some. Gotta,
that's a classic. Can't let the old classics die.
Fucking Henry Ford is responsible. We're not gonna let him just fucking fade away into memory. Fuck that. Wheel the Roy Orbison of racism and bigotry right back out every time.
Yeah. And there's people like now, today, we'll talk about, like, you'll see them online. Be like, oh, the Rothschilds running all the banks. Like, do you know how old that particular line of bullshit is?
Yeah, the one Rothschild just died today. It's like 57.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He got shot with a Jewish space laser. He did die.
The Rothschilds were very wealthy at one point.
They're not now.
They lost all of their money from the fucking Nazis. Like, they left all their shit behind and fled the Nazis. And they're well off, right? You know, you'll see, most anybody named Rothschild these days has a couple million bucks. They're doing fine.
Yeah. They're broke.
But,
like,
but compared to billionaires, they're garbage. They got nothing. You know, again, because of the Nazis.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Minor point.
We're talking 80 years? They lost all their money 80 years ago?
Yeah.
And people are still doing, hey, the Rothschilds running everything. It's the Rothschild. Yeah, that's an actual congresswoman. Like, duly elected congresswoman from Georgia. Talking about the Rothschild space laser. Rothschilds are, like, compared to rich people,
like,
they make minimum wage.
Like,
the Rothschilds
like, compare them to Jeff Bezos, like, for God's sake.
Yeah. The Rothschilds, they got a couple million bucks. That James Rothschild kid who married Nikki Hilton, he did it because he needed the money, probably.
Yeah, like, whoa, the Hiltons are really rich.
Yeah, I need something to get me some of that Hilton cash.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about, just quickly, Trump's lawyers all quit the week before the impeachment trial starts up. And so he had to hire Bill Cosby and almost Jeff Epstein's lawyer. So that's cool. I guess.
No, it was the guy. He got the guy who didn't prosecute Bill Cosby.
Oh, I'm sorry. But he was going to be Jeff Epstein's lawyer, but, you know, he got Epstein. So.
Bill Barr killed him.
Yeah. Fucking murder. So I guess this person is deeply entrenched in the bloated racist market. So, yeah, Trump is the perfect choice.
Yeah. I mean, last time he got impeached, he hired a couple of Epstein lawyers.
Yeah, well, I mean, these are the good ones. What's interesting is, you know, apparently he wants to concentrate on the rigged election, which that was one of the reasons they were like, nah, we're out, like these reputable lawyers.
Yeah.
But he also, I don't know if you saw this, the real reason that they bounced is because he was trying to get them to get rid of all these fees so that he could save, like, millions of dollars, and they were like, nah, fuck that. Like, yeah, nah, you try not to pay us is what you're trying to do, my guy. So
but the defense that he wants, right, there's a couple ways you could play this. Like, the one that I think Republicans want to do, that you've seen people like Rand Paul and stuff and Lindsey Graham try to go with, is, well, you can't impeach him, he's out of office.
Yeah,
right?
Nice try.
It doesn't matter what he did. It's over now, right? Which is not a precedent you want to set, because then any president can do whatever the fuck they want in the lame duck.
Yep.
Lame duck officially becomes crime time.
Yep.
Right? You don't want that to be want that to be the president. But and then there's a First Amendment argument where you're like, yeah, he said some stuff, but you should be allowed to say stuff.
That's a terrible that's a terrible argument.
I mean, it is an argument. Right? It is an argument. I don't know that it's a good argument. It is an argument. The argument Trump wants them to go with is, yeah, it's good and it's fine what happened because they were trying to steal the election, and I would like you to go argue that actually all of that was good because the election was stolen. Because he still, even when facing impeachment and even when he's going to be facing possible criminal charges. His ego will not let him take the easy way out on this and just go, what I did wasn't actually that bad. And, you know, I mean, well, that was bad. All that stuff that happened was bad, but I was just talking.
Yep.
Right. He can't. That's your best defense. That's your best defense.
He can't.
But his ego will not allow him to. So what he has to get lawyers to argue is actually it was good what happened, because they should have been stopping that because it was a stolen election. I actually won.
Yeah, good. Good. I think he should make that argument. That sounds awesome.
I know, but that's the line of bullshit that led to this, and he's going to keep it up. He's not going to drop it.
Look, it's good. I hope he testifies. I hope he fucking testifies.
But his ass is on the line now. I don't know. Like, he can't even drop it.
But he's a fucking malignant narcissist. He cannot. He cannot turn away. He cannot turn away from the idea of pumping up bullshit that he didn't lose. He can't.
Right.
He is incapable. It's not just like, and I know you know this, but like people are like, well, why doesn't he just like say this? He can't. He can't. No more than I could. No more than I could pretend to care about the future of Russia as a country. I can't pretend to give a shit. He cannot pretend to lie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's like, and we saw it. Anybody who's been paying attention saw it coming a million miles away. He didn't accept the results of the election that he, quote unquote, won.
Yep.
Because he lost the popular vote. And he never accepted that.
Yeah, you think he's going to accept an actual loss? No fucking way. No way.
And everyone knew it. Everyone knew it. Everyone knew it. Right? And they still, these idiots, still fell for it.
Yep.
Still. Even though we all knew what was going to happen. We're like, okay, well, here's what's going to happen. He's going to lose. He's going to claim he won somehow. And let's just hope that we've run up the numbers enough that they can't pull anything. Because if it was one state, they might have.
Yeah, that's what Brad said last week. And he's not wrong. And you're not wrong either.
Yeah. What helped us win? And, you know, it's shitty that it came down to this. But that was what everybody was saying, is you have to run up the numbers as many places as possible. Because if it wasn't five states we're talking about, we might have been in big trouble there.
Yeah. And then the precedent, the die would have been cast. And the precedent of, if you don't just blow this person out of the water, it's always up for question, and Republicans will question everything. I mean, anytime you had Republicans and questioning, you know, like in states where, or in races where they had lost by 30 points, and they're like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, it becomes the norm. So
right, and this is what they're gonna do now. Like if it's closer, they'll try to find a way.
Yeah,
because if we have a presidential election while Republicans are holding the House and Senate, they're gonna try to overturn it.
Yeah, they will.
They absolutely will.
And one time they might be successful, and that is the time that people are gonna get ripped the fuck out of those seats. Right, people are going to lose their fucking minds. They will. They will lose their minds. Because I can tell you, if they would have tried that and been successful, look, I don't know, man. I think the Capitol riot would have been a very different fucking situation. I do.
Dude, wait.
I think it would have been. Liberals are not going to go and storm the Capitol type of shit. They'd burn a city to the fucking ground, though. I can tell you that. They would.
Dude, it's so lopsided now. You have to win by like 4 points to win the Electoral College.
Yeah, it's fucking
That's
ridiculous.
That's crazy that we accept that.
Yeah. It's because we love the idea of giving rural America unprecedented benefit. Is the best way I can say that. Frankly, no one fucking lives there, and so we feel bad that because we know as a country, we as a country doesn't give a shit about the fucking Midwest. We know we don't. We call it flyover states for a reason. It's not just a catchy thing. We don't really give a fuck about it. It's not the financial capital of anything. It's not the cultural capital of anything in this country. It just isn't. It doesn't mean those people aren't worth anything, right? Like, they're still human beings that deserve respect and everything else. But when it comes to what moves this country forward, that ain't it. it ain't it. It doesn't even move the food forward, right? It's not, oh, well, they're doing all the farming stuff like that. Not really. We import a bunch of shit from most from other countries, or we get it from California. Right? Like, most of the Midwest, the benefits of the Midwest are what? Oil and what? Corn that we use not even really to eat most of the times. We use it for byproducts, for high fructose corn syrup and shit like that. And, like, big plants, like car plants and shit like that, because there's a ton of land and no people. But it doesn't drive it doesn't drive anything. It doesn't drive anything
Wyoming
in this country.
Has 578,000 people, and they get 2 senators.
Why?
That's fewer people than are in your entire in your city.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
And then Josh Hawley's punk ass will go out there and say that DC shouldn't be a state. Why is Montana a state?
Right.
There's 4 niggas who live in Montana. What the fuck? Like, literally, there might only be 4 black people in there. But, like,
you could take all of those Great Plains states and just put them together and just be the Great Plains.
Yeah. This is fucking
Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota. You guys, you all collect.
You're all together.
Idaho, throw it in there.
You get 2 senators. Senator. Yeah. You get
2 senators for all of you. Why do you each get 2? That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. But it's because we as a country, we know that those parts of the country don't drive anything. They don't. And that, again, I'm not saying that those people don't matter or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But culturally, we all know that the coasts are what drives – culturally, it's what drives fashion and what's hip, what's cool, what's going on. That's it. When people talk from the other side of the world and they're like, I want to go to America, nobody comes to America and go, I want to go to Wyoming. No, they want to go to L.A. They want to go to New York. They want to go to Miami. That's where they want to go. They want to go to D.C. They want to go to those big places. They don't want to go to the Midwest. They don't. And that's not not trying to be a dick. I'm really not.
No, but our argument is not that somebody on the coast vote should count more.
No, it should
than
just
somebody in the Midwest. Our vote is that everybody should be the same.
Right.
Right? It shouldn't be that, you know, somebody in Wyoming's vote is what is it, like 6.5 times more powerful than somebody's vote in California?
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why?
Because we look at it's a pity move. It is. It is. Like, man. Oh, yeah. Man, ain't nothing going on out there. Let's give them a fighting chance. But what you've done is you've made it so fucking lopsided that these people who there are so few and far between actual human beings that live there compared to New York City has 8 million people in it. Not New York State. Just the city is 8 million people. L.A. County is 10.5 million people. But they have the same – they have – those two cities, city areas have the same clout as – or less clout as Montana. Get the fuck out of here. Everybody in the country lives in like a few places and then like 5 people sprinkled in the middle. Oh, no, it's all even.
But
what the fuck? Get out of here.
It should be equal.
It should be at least equal.
It shouldn't matter where you live. You should be able to live wherever and have your vote count the same as somebody else. I don't want I don't want somebody's vote in you know, who lives on the coast to count more.
No, it should just be equal.
Who lives in, yeah. And that's the really fucking disingenuous argument they make, which is like, oh, well, then the cities would decide everything. Like, no, they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't. But even if they did, well, right that's where everyone fucking lives. I'm sorry.
But this system that we have now is not benefiting these smaller population states.
No, it doesn't. They think it does.
It benefits.
They think it does.
Yeah. There's like 8 states that swing back and forth, and they're the only ones that get the campaign stops, right? This doesn't benefit Wyoming at all. Wyoming's in the bank. Republicans don't give a fuck about Wyoming.
No.
Because they don't have to.
Nope.
How many campaign stops did Donald Trump make in Wyoming? Go ahead and add them up. None! Why would he? Why would he waste his time?
Yeah.
He went and hung out the same place Joe Biden did. We're just going to go hang out in Pennsylvania and Ohio and fucking Wisconsin and try to win.
Yep. Because that's the only shit that matters.
It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anybody. It's fucking stupid. God, this country's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree to agree. Yeah. Speaking of stupid, we got roughly 10 minutes left. Marjorie Taylor Greene. And before you say anything, because I know you have something rude to say, I would just like to say, I don't need to say anything. I'm just going to let this young man speak for me and you.
My name is Corey Ryan Forster. I'm from Marjorie Greene Taylor's district here in Walker County, Georgia. And I think it's important that people hear what I have to say. I'm going to try not to scream. I'm going to try not to yell. I'm going to try not to say things like, Marjorie Greene Taylor's the biggest fucking piece of shit I've ever seen. I'm going to try really hard. Because again, I don't want this to fall on deaf ears. But we're not all like that. And I don't want to sound like a not all white people thing, because we definitely need to take accountability. We definitely have earned a lot of it. But I'm so fucking sick and tired of having to constantly defend my accent. And I'm not asking everyone out there to stop thinking of my people of a certain way. I'm talking to my people right now. Vote this fucking bitch out! God! Aren't you ashamed? How are you not ashamed? It's one thing to like guns. It's a completely other thing to be fine with someone who harasses school shooting victims and talks about how it's fake. This is so asinine. QAnon has become synonymous with Walker County, Georgia, and I'm fucking tired of it. I've grown up here my whole life, and I was led to believe that there are decent people, and I still believe that. But until I start seeing a majority scream at this lady and talk about how she doesn't represent us, I don't believe it. And I'm so tired of it, man. I know I'm not the only one. I'm so fucking sick of people in the comment section saying, oh, you're a good one. You're one of the good ones, Corey. Do you know how fucking embarrassing that is? I'm talking to those of you who feel the same way as me but aren't saying anything because you don't want to upset your mom and dad. You don't want to upset your papaw. You don't want to upset your friends. Maybe you don't want to get fired from your job. Now it's time to use that fucking white privilege, baby. We've got it in spades. I'll say whatever the fuck I want. Fuck her. Fuck QAnon. Fuck the radical right. Fuck all them. Well, I'm in a goddamn blue state now, and it's time we started fucking acting like it. Fuck her. It ain't all of us, goddammit.
I feel like I might have a long lost white brother. I love this guy. I love this guy. He's awesome. He goes.
That's the buttercream dream, baby.
he goes by Coping MAGA on Twitter. You should follow him. He's awesome. But makes
Coping
very
MAGA just shared.
Oh, he
Coping
just
MAGA
oh
it's
just the,
his video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great account to follow. No, that's Corey. What's his name? Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is the biggest piece of shit.
Yeah.
I love it. He's not wrong.
He's one of Trey Crowder's boys.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah. What do they call the there's a comedy tour. The Well Red, I think. Because they're all red.
Oh, that's
red,
funny.
Rednecks from red states. But yeah.
They're all libs.
Buttercream Dream Corey. Corey Forrester from Walker County, Georgia. Yeah. The Buttercream Dream.
The Buttercream Dream. That's a good name.
He's great. Yeah. Yeah. He's fantastic.
But I mean, it's just this idea of this lunatic still being in Congress. And now Republicans are Mark Meadows has decided that he's not going to do anything. He's just going to let her stay on these committees. They're not going to do anything to her, even though all of her like craziness has been leaking out over the last couple of weeks, showing that she believes in, you know, QAnon, 9/11 conspiracy theories, fucking Jewish space lasers.
California fires were started by a Jewish space laser. That is a congresswoman.
Like a real person believes that. Oh, you know,
she was
forest fires
a
don't
Parkland survivor.
Dude, nope. Nope, nope, nope. If I was David Hogue, this is how I know I am not built for that world. I would have punched her in the fucking mouth. I know I would have. Dude, everything in my being tells me if I went through a school shooting and watched my friends get fucking murdered, and some psycho bitch came up to me and was chasing me talking about this shit was fake, I'd be like, you know what? As a guy, I probably shouldn't do this, but you know what? I'm about to make a real big mistake in my life. I'd have punched her in the mouth. I would have punched her in the mouth, dude. I'd be like, well, those are my friends. Those are my friends that fucking died, you fucking horrendous piece of shit. I would have. And I can say that with 100% certainty, and this clip will definitely come back to bite me in the ass at some point. I'm sure. But I can tell you, there is no way that I would not have flipped the fuck out. Maybe not hit her, but I definitely would have pushed her to the ground aggressively, like with extreme prejudice. I would have lost my mind. I would have blacked the fuck out. I would have blacked out.
You don't have to, you know. That was something Corey Forrester said in his video there. You don't have to, you know, agree with gun control or whatever, right? It's okay to like guns. We're Americans. Americans love their fucking guns.
I love a gun.
But there's a difference between being a guy who likes his guns and harassing fucking school shooting survivors. Like, that's nuts. That's absolutely fucking bananas.
I wish he would go to the hood with that shit. I do. I think so.
She wouldn't go to a black school
where some black chick is her friend got shot in school and tell her that shit was bullshit. See what happens. Go ahead.
No.
Sharkeesha, no.
She's gonna go mess with this teenage boy. Yeah. That's it.
Look, no, go mess with a black target. Teenage girl in Baltimore. See what happens to you. See what happens to you. They're different from me, man.
Yeah.
They're different from me. I don't understand pieces of human garbage like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I truly don't. And I'm getting ready to defend someone who I find reprehensible. So this is how bad I find Marjorie Taylor Greene. Mark Meadows apparently was more vested in arguing for keeping Marjorie Taylor Greene in her committee seats than he was in keeping Liz Cheney in Republican leadership.
Yeah, they want to censure Liz Cheney.
Yo, who, Liz Cheney is an actual conservative. I think she is reprehensible. She shouldn't be in Congress either. She is fucking trash. No. But she's a real conservative. She's not a fucking lunatic by these standards, right? She's a lunatic by normal politics standards.
The Republican Party has gone so nuts. I think it was Tony and the group was like, Liz Cheney used to be the Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? She was way out there.
Super to the right.
And now the party has gone way past her.
Oh, yeah.
For having fucking principles, I guess.
And she's a real conservative. She is a real conservative. She's, like, she's a piece of shit, but she's a real
she's
fucking
Dick
conservative.
Dick Cheney's daughter. She's
not conservative enough.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's how bananas this party has gotten, is that Liz Cheney is now, you know, she's not part of the team. Yeah. We got to censure her. We got to get her out of leadership because she thought it was bad that the president riled up a mob and sent them to murder the vice president and members of Congress. You have to be on board with that to be a Republican.
Yeah.
Be like, no, that's fine, actually. That's good. You should kill us. I agree. Killing us is good. Yeah.
I don't get it. No, you know, like,
it was you guys. It was you who were in the building that they were coming after.
Yeah, what did you think was going to happen?
You think you would have been spared?
Do you think they know the difference between a Republican and a Democrat in the heat of that shit? No, they'd have shot you right in the fucking head, too. They wouldn't have given a fuck.
Yeah. They were coming to kill Mike Pence, who's can't find a bigger Trump homer than Mike Pence.
Nope. Sure can't. I love him. He's the best. He tried to get you murdered, dude. Like, that was less than a month ago, my man.
What an honor it was to be have my life threatened by the man I enjoy serving next to.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, all right. Quick thing. Did you see the story that Matt Gaetz says that he's willing to give up his seat to defend Donald Trump in a trial? He says that he wants to make sure that Donald Trump gets a full-throated defense because he feels like all of his other lawyers have not been defending him. And to that, I would say that the sound of Matt Gaetz giving Donald Trump a full-throated defense is something like, because Matt Gaetz sucks and he is a sycophant. He's willing to give up his seat in Congress to defend a guy who is definitely not going to win like any level of argument historically on this impeachment thing. What is even the point? God, do you want to fuck Ivanka that bad? Do you want her to fuck you that bad? She's not no, he wants to fuck what? Tiffany, right? I think that's Tiffany is who he was trying to bang.
I mean, she's available, right?
I guess.
You can do better, Tiffany. Jesus.
Yeah, you can. You can do better than Matt Gaetz.
You know he would take her name too, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I'm Matt Trump.
100%, dude. Matt Nestor Trump. Matt Nestor Trump.
Nothing against guys who take their wife's name.
No, there isn't. That's but fine. He definitely would.
But he definitely would.
He might change his last name to Trump just in preparation for it.
He might do it anyway.
Yeah. If he gets to sniff the panties of Tiffany Trump, he's changing his name. It's over. It's fucking over.
But it would kill my pun. Ooh. Matt Pizza Gaetz. I love Matt that. Pizza. I want to keep
Matt Pizza Gaetz. That's not bad. It's not bad. One last story. Story of white privilege. One of these.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah, it's real. As the arbiter of racism, I thought you would have known that. You failed at your job.
I mean, me holding this job is just an example of white privilege.
Well, that is not false.
A black person should have this job.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got it.
Yeah, you stole it. You stole it from a black man.
You and Tiara gave it to
I did not. I did not. I did not. She did. Can't trust her. A problematic white woman charging the Capitol riot asked a judge for permission to leave the U.S. to go on a vacation to Mexico because she had already prepaid for it. That's an interesting question. If I was a judge, I would throw her in jail for being an asshole.
Well, you've now announced your intentions to leave the country. What is a bigger flight risk than someone who is telling you specifically, I'm going to Mexico?
Yeah, I'm going to Mexico on a prepaid trip. No, right. No, you're not. I don't even have the balls to even ask. Like to even think to ask that of a judge. Hey, is it cool? I like there's video of her because she of course live streamed the shit. There's video of her saying like, "I love that we stormed the Capitol. I don't regret anything we did. This was awesome. You know, like we did an awesome job and all this other stuff." Like, oh, so can I go to Mexico? Is that cool? No, you dumb bitch. You're not going anywhere.
Dude, if I was awaiting trial, I would be nervous to leave the county. Like, I'd be so concerned about not fucking this up.
Yeah.
Right? And they're just like, can I go on my Mexican vacation? Or I got a trip prepaid to timeshare in Puerto Vallarta.
I'd like to go down to Senior Frogs for the weekend.
What the fuck?
Like, fuck off.
These people did not think they were going to get in trouble.
They thought they could storm the Capitol, kill politicians, and go back to working at Big Lots on fucking Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, what all we did was would beat a police officer to death with a fire extinguisher and leave a couple pipe bombs. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, we're not in Black Lives Matter, for God's sake. Come on.
Right. Right. Don't get... It's not like we're Antifa. Those guys smashed a Starbucks window.
They're ruining my local Target. fuck off. So, yeah, it's pretty wild, man. It's pretty wild that she even has the fucking audacity to do that. But, you know, white people are white peopling all over this country. The caucasity of it all. all right, that's it for us. Any last words there, buddy?
No. Does everybody go buy Dogecoin? Because I need you to raise the value of my Dogecoin.
Fair enough. That's fraud, but whatever.
What? I'm giving you a tip.
Yeah. Tip of your penis. Get out of here.
And the tip is buy the funny dog crypto.
Dog e-coin.
It doesn't... None of this, it's all fucking fake.
It's all long division. Okay? That's all it is. Long division to make money. Nobody knows what it means.
Like, if you were... You're like, oh, Dogecoin. I mean, that shit's that's a dumb and fake. That's not a real one. Like, and what is Bitcoin then?
it's equally bullshit. It's equally bullshit.
Right. I mean, at least stock is connected to a thing.
Yeah, Dogecoin is.
Why
just...
is Bitcoin worth $37,000 right now?
What? Per coin?
Look at the price of Bitcoin.
I refuse. Yes. I fucking refuse.
Bitcoin is 37 grand.
Wow.
Fuck. Yeah. I remember my older brother telling me about Bitcoin in like 2009 when it was like a tenth of a penny. He's like, that's going to be the next big thing, Bitcoin. Fuck.
Shut up, idiot. How much is it worth?
Doesn't make sense. What? What are you talking about? Blockchain? I don't even know what that means.
I can buy blockchain at Home Depot. I don't need the internet. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, now look at it.
If I had thrown like $100 at that, I would be fucking multimillionaire.
Yeah, and I would cash out, and then I would pay to have people hurt professionally. Like Marjorie Taylor Greene, that big piece of shit. No, I'm kidding. Relax. I am not kidding. I would have pushed her down a flight of stairs if I was David Hogue. He's better than me.
Yeah, for sure.
No, he's a better person than I. He is.
Yes.
Good. The youth are good. I would be like, can we conduct this interview over here? She'd be like, why? No reason. Are those concrete stairs? They are. Fuck off.
There's better acoustics over here near the stairs.
Yeah, where I can hear your bones snapping as you hit each stair. Fucking cunt. No, don't tell fucking shooting victims that it was fake. I know, calling someone a cunt is really rude. That's why I said it. Like, you know, some people deserve to be treated like utter garbage, and she's one of them. Vote her out, you fucking lunatics. But she's in a plus, you know, plus Q state or plus Q district. Yeah,
so. No, you're just going to, that district is only going to have a Republican, but you can have a fucking normal Republican.
Yeah, you don't need to have a psychopath.
You don't need to be the QAnon district.
Yeah, they should be fucking embarrassed. Because we all are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we should just run their playbook. How they tried to say, like, every Democrat is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Fine.
Every Democrat.
You play your game.
Every Democrat is.
Every Republican is Marjorie Taylor Greene. You're the QAnon caucus now.
Yeah, the problem is it won't hurt them. Because a lot of them are fucking lunatics. They'll be like, yeah, that's right. I do think Democrats are all pedophiles. You're right. They're all pedophiles. what about Dennis Hastert? Democrat. Like, all right, cool. I guess.
Once you tell people what QAnon is,
yeah, people run from
that.
It is like
wildly anti-Semitic.
Well,
and not the kind of anti-Semitism where it's like, you criticize Netanyahu, you anti-Semites. Which is what they tried to pin on Democrats.
Yeah.
Like, legit, like, they believe, like, there's the evil cabal of Jews that run the whole fucking, you know, financial sector and whatever.
Yeah. Which is...
Like, that's straight up anti-Semitism, dude. That's, like, that's Nazi shit.
I mean, in fairness...
It's legit. Protocols of the Elders of Zion is actual Nazi shit.
Yeah, no, I know. But in fairness, is a Jewish cabal. I mean, everyone knows it. There's a cabal. There is a Jewish cabal, and they do regular things like go to the store, get groceries, and take care of their kids and live normal lives. You know, cabal shit.
Yeah.
I'm a part of the Black Cabal, the Baltimore Black Cabal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Jewish cabal just has like a, just like
they have different hats.
Run a lot of delis.
Yeah, they just have different hats. That's all it is. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Look out for the cabal. It's coming.
We're pro cabal now.
Yes. We look. I need people to realize this, and like all jokes aside, what happened on the planet of Alderaan was a warning shot about the Jewish space laser, and we should take it fucking seriously. Millions of voices cried out and then were silenced. First they came for Alderaan, and I said nothing.
Then they came for the forest of California.
And I said nothing because I no longer live there.
Because that's what you would do with your evil Democrat laser, is burn down California. That makes all of the sense.
Yeah, why wouldn't you burn down some part of the Midwest? Well, you know, they might not be able to tell, I guess. Fuck you. Yeah, why don't you just burn down Marjorie Taylor Greene's district? Would anyone notice?
Yeah, do you really think if the cabal had a fucking space laser, they wouldn't burn down, like, Mar-a-Lago with it?
I would. Like, immediately. I'd be like, first off, here's how you would do it, right? Like, just quickly before we get out of here. One, travel back to the 1980s. Two, build a school for geniuses. Three, get Michael Knight, aka Val Kilmer, and that weird other kid who was in that movie. And you get them and the guy who built the subway tunnel in the back of the dorm room, and you build up that school. And you use those kids who are really good at lasers to help build a government-functioning space laser. You would use that to then secretly put a giant thing of popcorn inside a building in Mar-a-Lago. And then you would fire said space laser into the popcorn, making popcorn go everywhere, thus ruining Mar-a-Lago. That's what you would do, obviously.
Obviously.
Jesus.
That's the move. You don't burn down California.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
No, you set off a giant Jiffy Pop, inside of one of the major buildings of Mar-a-Lago. By the way, for people who don't know what we're talking about, that's literally the plot of a movie called Real Genius, which, by the way, is a great movie of the 80s. That's awesome.
Now I want to.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
It's got to be on one of my 5 streaming services.
It should be. It's probably on HBO Max. Right? They got everything. I had that movie on DVD, for fuck's sake.
You still have DVDs?
No, I did. I don't. Oh, gave away all of my DVDs. I gave them away.
Yeah.
I took them to the thrift store.
It's a dusty box. I wasn't doing
it. Yeah, I took them to the thrift store. I gave away hundreds. Like, 320 DVDs. It was awesome. I felt really good about it. Because somebody was like, holy shit. I hope all the people who worked there didn't just take them. I hope like regular people were able to like get them. But yeah, like fuck it. Why not? It's a ton of movies. Is Real Genius on HBO Max?
Real Genius is on Stars.
Get the fuck out of here. I'll steal it. I owned a license to that.
If you have the Stars package on Hulu.
You know what? I have a Stars package on Amazon.
There you go.
All right.
Go watch Real Genius.
I might. Not tonight.
Let me know if it holds up.
I bet it doesn't. I assure you it doesn't. I assure you it doesn't. 1985 was a fucking weird year. But man, Michael Knight was the shit.
It probably held up about as well as Val Kilmer did.
Oh, yo, come on. That's fucked up. You're an asshole for that. I love Val Kilmer. That poor guy had cancer, man.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you dickhead.
He survived. Good for him.
Yeah, it wreaked havoc on him, though. Poor guy.
You're right.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer jokes were more fun when he was just fat.
Yeah, that's because he was going through chemo, you fucking prick. We didn't know at the time.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Hey, guys, remember when I was Batman? Everyone's like, he's fat now. It was like, oh, is it chemo? Ooh, I am a horrible person. but no, Val Kilmer was a shit. He was top shit in the 80s, man. He was one of my favorite actors of the 80s. Also, yeah. The Saint is a great movie. Also on Prime. All right, that's it for our additional moments.
He wasn't the best Batman. Please don't come for me.
He was not. He was the second best Batman, only to George Clooney.
George Clooney, obviously. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Look, if Batman doesn't have nipples, I don't want to see it. Just saying, I don't. Get the fuck out of here. All right. This episode brought to you by Bat Nipples, Wall Street Bets, Hedge Fund Managers Crying, Marjorie Taylor Greene being the biggest piece of shit, and
Roy Orbison.
And Roy Orbison, right. That's right. All right, that's it for us, guys. We'll see you next week.